This was not planned. Matter of fact, we weren't sure we were even going to be able to stop here this morning. But as we were driving in Missouri yesterday, we said, well, we can. Why don't we? You know, just make our way on home. Let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Father, we thank you again for the privilege of being able to call you our Lord and Savior. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word and to also show the film and reflect what's going on in other parts of the country. And Father, just open our hearts and minds that we might be faithful to live for you, to serve you, to witness for you, to be a true blessing and glorify your name in our Savior's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like you to turn to Luke 10, an old portion of Scripture that has probably been used many, many times. Chapter 10, verse 1 of the book of Luke. It says, after these things the Lord appointed 70 others also, and he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Then I'd like you to turn down to verse 18. Actually, 19. The Lord says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. 1 John 5:13 says that ye may know you have eternal life. To know that your sins are forgiven, to know that you're sealed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is a promise from God. It's a blessing that each and every one of us enjoy. He also gives us an opportunity, and he basically commands us to go. Go to the highways and byways. Some go even further, like myself. Some go for long term, some go for short term. But the Lord gives us opportunities to be a witness. Even this morning, I stopped right up the street, the gas station on the right, the first one. Went in, used the bathroom, came out. The gentleman's from Somalia. And we had an opportunity to talk about the Lord, and I left him with the track and sharing the gospel with him. The Lord can use us. Are we willing to open our mouths? Are we willing to take our feet? Are we willing to take our hands and be used? He doesn't say you have to be a Bible theologian. He doesn't say you just have to be a boy. He doesn't say you just have to be a girl. He says, are you willing to go? I had a young man at camp. He was 6 years age. He came up to a gentleman and said, my name is such and such. I'm a child that loves the Lord. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Talk about the gospel in a bullet. Boom. And that man says, yes, I do. Friday in Mississippi, stopping in a rest area, I went over to a security guard and I says, thank you. And I handed him a track. The track says, do you know you're going to go to heaven? He looked at me and he says, I know I'm going to be walking the streets of gold. I said, how do you know? He says, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He was Baptist. I told him I'd pray for him. He goes, I'm non-denominational. I love the Lord. You know, I just don't go by that name up on the top. And we had a wonderful talk. And he ended up taking that track and he put it on the window of his guard station. And he says, I'm going to let them all see it on there. You might be that encouragement that somebody needs to keep walking for the Lord. The thing is, are you willing? At school, you guys have an opportunity, you young ladies, have an opportunity to witness to your fellow classmates. We were told years ago, if you were arrested for being a Christian, and the same thing goes for you adults, I'm not just talking to these boys, but if you were arrested, would they have enough evidence to convict you that you're a Christian, that you love the Lord? I think in our country, we have a lot of undercover agents. We know Christ, but don't let anybody else know I know Christ. They might think I'm different. And that's our problem. You are different. You can't hide it. The love of the Lord shines out. When trials come into your life, you're not like, oh, woe is me, God, oh, why did you do this here? You're asking, Lord, in a very patient, humble way, just like Steve asking for prayer or praying for Clyde. You know, you lift things to the Lord and you have peace. They're in God's hands. And the people around you, whether it's at your neighborhood or at work, they know it. They see a difference. When stress hits in jobs, of course, maybe you don't have a job that has stress. Oh, what job doesn't have stress? Just working with people. God can use you. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to talk? Lance Strugart, when I saw him at McDonnell Douglas one day, you could not help know he loved the Lord. His screen on his monitor gave glory to God. The things on his desk gave glory to God. The plaques around his cubicle gave glory to God. You know, are we like that? Yeah. Do people really know that we love the Lord? God gave me an opportunity. End of November, 1st of December last year, we went to Kenya again. It was a medical mission with ministry connected. And this is one of the young ladies. Some of you all know Anne Marie, and she'd probably be embarrassed if she knew she was on the screen for 20 minutes and everybody's singing, and there she is, yeah. But she had a love for people. She took her skill in nursing, and by the way, I was the only non-medical. I'm the go-to guy. The different things that need and helping keep things moving, that's part of the gift God's given me. And we went in. Oh, I've got the clicker. Here we are in the International Airport in Kisumu. That's Dr. Price, Steve Price. You walk across the tarmac, you go down the old ramp, like many of you might remember. There's no fancy rack. And this is the only restaurant in Kisumu. And we're waiting for our ride to arrive. This is the team. There was 10 of us. It just happened to be 5 guys, 5 girls. And we had from Seattle, Washington, California, from Canada, 2 individuals that were from Canada, and Missouri and Iowa. And we're having breakfast. The whole meal for all of us cost $25. We all took in 2 suitcases, a backpack. 1 suitcase carried nothing but supplies. this is a real answer prayer. This is out at the compound. We drove 2.5 hours from Kisumu, which was 2 hours flying down from Nairobi to Kisumu. And then we drove, and if you think the camp road is rough, you haven't seen anything. That's the interstate of the rural setting. But this is a real blessing. This is the expansion of the school. Right now the school has just an eighth grade. They're trying to build it to where they can go all the way to 12th grade, but in doing so, 9 through 12, they live at the school, and then they only have 4 months at different times, a month at a time, where they're off for a holiday. The desire of the work is to take and use those vacant months for a time of ministry and teaching to where people can come in, stay, and the government's given them the okay to expand. This is all done by hand. The digging of the footers. They have labor. Finances is the biggest factor. While we were there, you see all the lighter colored or reddish colored rock. That's wheeled in by one man on a rickety old wheelbarrow, little thin, probably from 1950, the wheelbarrow might have been brand new. And he brings in these bigger rocks, then he takes a sledgehammer, splits them, throws them in. Just a few weeks ago, they poured the slab, they have the walls up, and they have the steel sticking up ready for the second flooring. Here's another picture. Another answer of prayer is all this land goes all the way down to the road, and 2 years ago, they were struggling trying to get people to even give them prices. They own it all now. God's opened up the door to provide the money. Here we are walking down the little building there in front of the people is their administrative office, but eventually that'll be expanded into the area. The school is actually over to the right, and the church they call Grace Chapel is the bigger building on the right, and then the clinic is down a little bit further from there. Here's their administrative building. Most of the huts are mud. This is the building trades room. Do you have a building trades in your school? You have an art room? It's bigger than that, isn't it? Yeah. Well, this is where they make their desk. This is where they make chairs for the chapel. And their chairs are not like here. They're two boards flat, one board straight up. You sit 90 degrees, and it's a 1x6. And they'll spend all day on those benches. This is some of the brethren that are out there pastoring. The workers, the full-time workers, they call them pastor. It's just a term given to all of them in Kenya. And these men were helping this young man. Pray for him. In the yellow shirt, he is the youth worker in the church there at Grace. And he also helps in the school. This is a work that a while back I talked about how the women empowerment, Ishmael's wife, Malene, felt burdened by the Lord. And she went out and she started working with the women that had been physically abused, had gone through a lot of trials and struggles, were widows, had small children, and they make different things, bracelets, baskets, wall hangers. They have a Bible study. The right side metal silver door is where they do their workshop and have their Bible study. This was not there 2 years ago. This is another blessing from the Lord. And then where the yellow door is at, is the little shop where they can sell things. What they sell, they take the money and they buy a cow. Isn't that what you want to do with your money you sell? But with that, the women are able to have milk and cheese and butter for their children. The extras, they're able to sell. They have a little income. They breed the cow, and the cow, when the calf is born, is given to another lady. They have over 40 cows now. It's giving. It's nothing for themselves. They're constantly giving to others. The whole work is to give. And in that, they show the love of the Lord and share that. This is one of the nicer homes. This was Ishmael's dad, who at one time owned quite a bit of the land where the original school is at. And he had the opportunity to paint his hut. This is Mr. Oshrig, and he's milking the cow, and that's a calf on there. This is in the compound. This is the property that he originally gave for the school. Everything else they've been able to expand as the Lord leads. These are classrooms over in here. This is their center where the flag is at, and they have a basketball. Well, you can see the basketball there. And then there's another lower level that they can play soccer and other games. But they're just very few windows. As you look at on the side, they can open that. The ventilation isn't great. And they have wooden desks that you'll see in a bit. While we were there for the week, they ended up having this tent to where they would have gospel meetings in. The music group from up in Nairobi, they were out of school. They came down and they put on the music basically all night long. This is what it's all about here. Seeing these kids and being able to share the gospel with them. The ladies even had time with the children doing children's messages. They had time with doing ladies' messages. This is inside the church. The pile in the back is mattresses, old mattresses that many of those that were there to help at night were sleeping in the church after the gospel message that had been going on to almost 2 o'clock in the morning is over with. These are three of the teachers, and they were interpreters for us at the school. And it's just really neat to see their love for the Lord and growing in the Word of God. This Beatrice is the young lady there, and she had just been saved a couple years ago, has a daughter, and her husband was killed by attackers in Nairobi just before he finished college. This is a picture of the overall plan of their future development by an architect. Here's sunset in Kenya as we're looking at this whole compound is now part of the facility. There's the clinic, just a little building of mud. We had to put tarps between the classrooms so we could divide up into exam rooms. And this is their typical education room. See the benches that they were sitting on. These are some of the additional workers. This is Ishmael, who was expressing what they were expecting for that week. This is market day. You go to the grocery store or the shopping center if you want to buy stuff, clothing, mats. This is it. There's over 1,000 some people just spread out on the hillside. You go down the highway, and that's how they buy and sell livestock, anything. It's all right there. This is some of the current medical equipment in the hospital at Hama Bay. Some of it, the nurses that were with us were like, I wish patients could see this. You know, they complain about different things in America. This is some of the nurses in training. This is a lady that gave us a tour through the whole facility. The lady next to her on the right is Moline, Ishmael's wife, and it was great that she could go with us. Some of our staff with their staff. This is in the just outside the delivery room. That's how they clean things. Just throw it in a bucket. If you're wondering, that's a fish, a tilapia fish. You buy it on the side of the road, and you take it, and you take it home. And he held that for over an hour and a half. I had two on the side mirror flopping as we're going down. They had rope on them, but there's Travis there. Here's the young fellows that were singing. They'd get different ones coming up and sing, and just really exciting to see their excitement for the Lord. These are some student nurses that came out with Dr. Uma and were learning, working on blood work as well as doing some of the family meds. This is a lady. She was so excited to help us. She's one of the ladies involved in the Women of Empowerment, but she also cleans around, and she was sweeping the ground and making it nice, and that is the typical broom. How many read Little House on the Prairie? That's about what it looks like. And she was so excited to help, and I said, can I take your picture? So she let me take her picture. The benches on the outside are typical of what you would sit in the church, but we set them out in front of the classrooms, and this is what the people coming, they go through a process and then come to the final exam room, and they will sit and be moved in and out the next in line, but they'll sit out there for hours. Every day they had a gospel meeting in the morning before we even started, and the quartet sang a number for everybody. This is another day. Now see, the new compound in school is going to be right behind the church, behind us there. That's Dr. Omar. He is a physician in Hama Bay. Actually, the physicians are still on strike at the hospital in Hama Bay. They're all paid by the government, and they've been fighting for proper care and treatment with them. And people have been without doctors' help for 44 days down there. But he came up. He's also an elder in the meeting, and he's on the board. I have, at times, different ones come up, and they'll bump me. And the first morning, as we're standing there by the tent, these two little boys came up and tapped me and remembered them, and they had received one of the shirts, and it was like, hey, we advertise anywhere. This is their kitchen. All those people that are helping come in, they get fed. And those that are still there at the clinic at lunchtime, they all get fed. So these are some of the folks, and that's the stove in the corner, and those are some of the pots, and they're fixing up a lunch. Had kids all around us, and here's some of the staff there. Another opportunity, didn't matter what was around. The Word of God was being given. Amanda Brinkman, some of you may know Amanda, but she brought some little containers of bubbles. It started with just five kids. I was in the middle in this photo, but there ended up over 40-some kids just going after bubbles. She goes, I should have brought more. Well, tilt your head, you can see it. That's Dr. Omar and me. I'm always on a tilt. And they threw in the picture of me speaking over there and sharing the gospel to the folks. And I was blessed to have an umbrella. Even though I got sunburnt, they did put the umbrella on there. And no, I didn't just speak to these few people, which I do at times, but this is just the starting. Here's a bunch of the ladies from the Women in Empowerment. And Caroline, in the white, she has worked her way to where she is a nurse. She oversees the pharmacy. But she was the first recipient of a cow. And on our first trip over there, she had to show us. She was so excited. So we walked about 2 miles to her house and saw her little two-room hut and saw this little pen, and here was her cow. And she was so excited that she was able to show what the Lord had blessed her with. this lady in here is called the praying widow. I didn't take any pictures inside her hut, but it's just two rooms. You can see through the roof, different holes. Her table is not as nice as this table. It's just a little wooden table. Her chair is not as nice as these. She's just got a little wooden chair. And there was one behind us that she sits outside on the other chair. She cooks in a little pot in the corner up here in the front. Her bedroom is on the left. She has a little pot that she heats, just little wood in there, and that's how she warms herself at night. But she is the praying widow. Her family's all gone. She has nephews and stuff that keep trying to get her to move closer. But she was praying for the outreach. She was praying for our safety. And we surprised her and just showed up. And she didn't have time to put her good dress. She only has two dresses. She did allow us to come in. And the first thing when we entered her home, she says, "We pray." And she prayed for us. And thank God for us coming. And it's people like that. And you say, "Well, what can I do?" People, you can pray. I used to hear a lot about praying warriors, prayer warriors. People praying for the Lord's work, praying for the Lord's people, praying for the meetings. Are we burdened in letting the Lord know? Or are we easy to just say, "I'm old, I can't do it, I'm a woman, I'm a single man," you know? Baloney. You kids can do things. You adults should be showing them and guiding them and being the example that they want to move to. Not just say, "Okay, we'll let the young people take care of it." Well, they could easily leave. Realize the body is all parts of the body. It's not just an arm dangling over here and saying, "Well, that's the body." It's everybody. And this woman has been a real testimony to me in the importance of prayer. And everybody has a part. She never made her way up to the clinic or to the gospel meeting, but she was praying. And her little area is maybe 100 yards. In diameters, the distance that she goes. And she's barefooted too. But she was willing to take and have a picture with us in her everyday dress on there. The staff threw a party for us the last night and just saying thank you. But with this picture, many of those helpers in there don't know the Lord. There's one fella that he teaches religion, he teaches English in the school, but he's Seventh-day Adventist. Well, when I learned that, that's almost like a bone to a dog. You know, we had some long talks, and the man has no ideas, just like a name, and was so open, and even in his teaching in the classroom was just about history of religions, not the gospel. And we were all praying for him. I still am. And, you know, he's had a lot of people sharing with him. These are some of the other leaders. And this is Ishmael's home. But the last trip, we're in the living room. We were on the dirt floor in tents in the living room. And we were walking 150 yards out to the odd house, which is the outside toilet for some people that don't know. And it consisted of just a round hole in the concrete slab. There weren't any footprints. There weren't any seat. You squat down. And then you had to take the bucket and flush it. You didn't take your handle and put the seat down. You took the bucket and you flushed it. If you wanted a shower, you didn't have showers like camp. You had one little spigot and you had one little handle, and you hoped that it was still lukewarm on the roof, but otherwise it was cold water. Kind of like the beginning of camp. And that was the shower. The sink for shaving or brushing your teeth was just a little wooden platform, not even as nice as this, and one little spigot. There wasn't even a mirror. And that was the outside bathroom. This trip, we had inside toilets. And you had to be careful if you turned on the electric heater for the shower. If you touched the handle wrong, you could get a little tingle every once in a while. But it took a lot of people, and we had a great time with them. They made up a cake for us, and they awarded the girls nice dresses. The guys, they gave us all different shirts, and if I would have known I was speaking this morning, I would have worn my shirt. But they couldn't thank us enough. And this is Ishmael and Steve expressing to everyone how much they appreciated all their help. And they were seeing souls being saved every day. We had an opportunity in talking with the older men. And they finally admitted they wanted teaching. They wanted us to come back, spend 3-4 days in just teaching, that they were hurting in teaching. And the first step in anything is knowing you have a need and then reaching out for help. So with that, I'm in the process of trying to coordinate with a couple individuals, one in Kanga, and possibly two in Nairobi, to where young men like in this meeting are doing Skype Bible studies and teaching. Computer age, don't be afraid of it. Utilize it for the Lord. I know a lot of stuff on Facebook and different things. You get tired of hearing about somebody and their baby, or I went to the grocery store, or some stuff that's so half off the wall that you just kind of like bleep, you know, because it's trash. You can take technology and use it for the Lord and reach people all over the world and help them grow. Help them be excited about witnessing and sharing and learning more from the Scriptures. This is just one of the vehicles as we were getting ready to head back on there. And this is Moline and Dr. Omar. They came and were saying goodbye to us at breakfast. It's just a group of us all getting ready to go. This young lady on the right, she got met up with two of the girls from Canada in the Amsterdam airport on their way coming. And she ended up coming down. She's a believer that's really been struggling. But they witnessed to her as a non-believer, and they ended up swapping addresses and phone numbers, and she came down and spent 3 days with us. And even some of the guys put money together to where she could fly back with us instead of taking the bus to Nairobi, and able to continue to minister with her and show the love of the Lord. That's Ishmael and his family. John's in high school. He's a senior this year, and he was on the holiday time, but he is up above Nairobi. Kevin is the next son, and he's in a school that's over in Hama Bay, almost 2-3 hours away. So as they get to a point, the kids are off. We were saying goodbye, and this is inside. Ishmael's mom and dad are standing on either side of him, and he wanted to have a word of prayer with us as we were leaving. Here we are heading down the highway. I mean, it's beautiful scenery. The countryside, the lakes and stuff. People, as we're driving down, are waving and saying goodbye to us.
This is in Nairobi. This is in the slums. This is where the original work started of Shelter of Hope. And this is at Hope Church. They also have a school. There's 60 people that attend church on a regular basis. There's 120 kids that are in the school. And they serve them a lunch. Many of the kids are orphans. It's the main meal that they get for the whole day. But just a week and a half ago, 2 weeks at the most, the school caught on fire. I'll show you in a minute, but this is 35,000 people in the condition. The average room, here we're entering in, this is, all the chairs are melted and a lot of the cloth and tables are all burnt. This is the typical hallway as you get out of the main road that you just saw all the kids at. And those little rooms are basically 7x7. Concrete floor, metal walls, metal ceiling. If you have a window, you're lucky. But a family of five live in that 7x7. All they have is a bed. Mom and dad are in that. The kids are on the floor. Things are stacked in boxes, whatever. That's how they live. If they're lucky, I was told that maybe together the mom and the dad might make $1,000 a month U.S. That seems like a lot, but it's really not. And they cook. They come right out and cook in these hallways in little pots. And you see the wires. Those aren't metal. Those are wires. And even down in the back, they're just intertwined. And our electrician, if you'd look at this stuff, you'd just like, oh my. Well, they had a fire. Thankfully, it didn't burn it all the way down, but desks are burnt and a lot of cleanup. Here's the inside of one of the rooms. They put a piece of cloth on a wall to add a little decoration. Here's another picture. This was an art room that the kids work in. See the desk? That's what they sit on, and that's what they write on. So when you guys are in class, and you're sitting in that seat, and you got that desk in front of you, don't complain. Thank the Lord. You could be sitting on a wooden plank all day. You could be leaning on a wooden plank and writing. She is one of the administrators there, and James, the gentleman closest to us, pray for him. He is working for the Kenyan Health Department. He's a believer. He got his college and worked his way out of the slums, is married with three kids, and he's trying to come. We've been talking to him about Lincoln University in Jefferson City, trying to come over here and get his master's in public health. So he's working through the government trying to do all that connection. But he drives every week people back into the slums for church. He brings his family and is a continued encouragement to those to keep faithfully working. The brother next to him in the plaid shirt is Warren, and his son is applying to go to Emmaus this September so that he can come back and be used in the rural community in reaching. He as well worked himself out of the slum area, lives outside of the slums, but he's one of the elders in the church. He comes back and he's teaching and he's laboring with the people that he used to be one of. Another picture in the classroom. And they asked Steve to just share a little bit before we left. And they served us sodas and bottled water and cookies. And, you know, just thankful that we would come by and take the time. A couple of the young ladies in our group became exercised. And I think they may go back and help reopen the clinic for people in that. It's all free. All this is free, trying to help people. They are just totally dependent upon the Lord to meet their needs in all things. On the way coming back, Amanda saw a piano in Amsterdam airport and just sat down, was playing a hymn, and I took her picture, which she didn't want, but it was just peace that we had and the joy of just how the Lord had blessed. We were reminiscing of different events and what God had done through us, to us, is just unbelievable. He is an amazing God. And don't wait to have somebody tell you, you got to go do something. Develop a heart to share the gospel even now. I know we don't mail a lot of things, but I know there were ladies that used to mail cards to people that didn't come to meeting, saying we missed you. Or somebody was in the hospital, or somebody had a birthday, and they sent cards. Just, hey, we're thinking of you. Little things that one can do. But it's got to start with you. It's got to start with me. I can point a finger, but I got three that are pointing back to me, and I've got Satan even attacking me more, saying, Share the gospel. Don't be afraid what they might say to you or do if you hand them a tract. It's not against you that they're angry with. They're angry with the Lord. It's His message that they're rejecting. You're just an instrument. God has given you an opportunity to go. And there is so much need in St. Louis and St. Louis County. Open your eyes. Look at school. I have to say, I failed at school. But you've got an opportunity to have more blessings from the Lord than I will ever see because you take that step now. If you have any other questions, I'll answer them for you, but let's go ahead and close in prayer and we'll leave it with that. Father, we thank you how you open up doors. Personally, I would have never thought of going to Kenya. I would have never thought of the opportunity of not only sharing with people with medical, but most of all, sharing the Word of God. Would have never thought of coming alongside an individual and hearing them cry and the struggles that they're going through. I would have never met the praying widow who, Father, I know you are blessing her in more ways than any one of us can comprehend. Because she is being faithful to the Lord that died for her sins. Father, we hear a lot of teaching in our country. Help us to take that teaching and not just fill our heads and have an amazing head knowledge, but help us to be doers as well. Whether it's somebody at school or somebody at work or somebody living next to us, might they know that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of that fellow in that rest area that said it's so nice talking with someone that is not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, you touched me at how many times I'm reluctant and hesitate. And I ask that you'll help me and help my brothers and sisters here, that we would be bold to share the Word of God. We have a huge, lost, sinful world around us. As your precious word says, the harvest is great. Father, help us not to just talk about it, but help us to be one of those faithful laborers. Help us to be steadfast in our love for you. Help us to look forward to that day when we see our Savior face to face in all your glory and hear your words to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Father, only you can challenge each and every heart here. Only you can stir their minds to think on things above. But I ask that you'll work in my heart, in my mind, and you'll continue to open doors for me that I might serve you in any way possible. In Jesus' name, amen.